This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yowza! Yabba dabba dowza! Good morning.
That's a new one.
What's going on, Greg?
Hanging out, thinking about, wow, it's a week till Christmas. I should start shopping.
Well, yeah. That's not a bad idea. You being Mr. Thoughtful, though, I'm kind of surprised you're behind the curve on this one. I'm sure you have some ideas up your sleeve.
And I got a pretty short list, too. That helps.
Okay.
So, yeah.
608 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yeah, I've only been doing this for, 24 years. It's still new.
It's still brand new to me. It's like riding a bike.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, my friends. Tis the season. Breathe. It can be a stressful time, even here. You know, we got to get ahead on some commercial production and things like that, because we're not going to be... We're fortunate that we get a substantial amount of time off over the holidays, right. And we certainly appreciate that. But yeah, there's a lot of getting ahead you got
to
do.
Yeah, you got to work overtime to work undertime kind of thing.
Yeah. But
it's worth it.
Come Monday morning when no alarm is buzzing in my ear.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Although, the idiot that I am, I probably will forget to disable my, and I've done that many times before, forget to disable the alarm, and I will still be waking up at that time, at least temporarily.
See, that's where we're different. Because I'm so OCD, I can't tell you how many times I look at my alarm before I go to bed, even though I know I've set it. For instance, I will look at it three or four times.
I do that too, but you're out of your normal routine. You don't worry about anything because... you're on vacation.
That's true.
And you just leave it alone, which it's always, on Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And I wish everyone an absolutely awesome holiday season, and certainly make the best of it, and put away any regrets that you have. The dear Lord doesn't put that bug in your ear about regrets or things you could have done differently. He doesn't do that to you, only the devil. The good Lord always wants you to march forward, okay? March forward and be very, very thankful and have gratitude for what you have. And, he'll pile it on. He will pile it on. I mean, look, if he'll give big fancy sports cars to poor little Greg, you can imagine what he would do for you, a decent human being. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but he gives me the payment along with him.
Well, that's true.
Because I don't know that,
he wants to maintain a strong work ethic, I think, with you, Greg, because it's good for you. If you didn't have a job, you would drive people even crazier.
I'm just trying to keep Evo with the credit union employed, so, that's what I'm doing. So.
Well, hey, can we keep the economy going? It's
absolutely.
What we do.
Absolutely. You bet.
And it has not been easy. I mean, we had 4 years of Biden, tearing the country apart. Can you imagine if Kamala was president right now and still the borders were wide open?
Can you
imagine what level of craziness it would be now? The economy would be in shambles. She'd be pushing, green agendas and things like that.
Trying to get us to drive electric cars, whether you like it or not, those kind of things.
Yeah, count your blessings. The president came out, and I don't know what he considers prime time, but 9 o'clock is past bedtime.
Yeah,
but he came out swinging, and he talked about Biden and his administration, and he should. We knew it, Biden, especially when he did that kind of second COVID deal, that big spending thing, and I thought most good economists warned against it, said, no, don't do that. No, there's enough money you've kind of pushed into the economy. Don't do that. You're going to get inflation. And, of course, he didn't listen because a lot of this money was being funneled you know, to friends, relatives, and supporters of the Democrat Party in general, and to foreign entities and everything else, and NGOs and all that, that were not looking out for America. And President Trump said it 11 months ago, I inherited a mess. Hmm. And he did. And he said, and I'm fixing it. We had the worst trade deals ever made, and our country was laughed at from all over the world. But they're not laughing anymore. Over the past 11 months, we have brought more positive change to Washington than any administration in American history, and focusing very heavily on Americans' economic concerns. Trump even whipped out the chart.
Oh, I gotta love a chart.
The old, I guess not a whiteboard, it's actually a chart.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed the price decreases and the wage increases under his watch, with real private sector wage growth averaging over $1,000 since he returned to the White House versus losses of nearly $3,000 under Biden. He said, let's look at the facts. Under the Biden administration, car prices rose 22%, in some states even 30% or more, as he was going through some of the data. And it is all there. It is numbers. These are not cooked books.
Mm-hmm.
Democrat politicians also set the cost of groceries. Sorry, we are solving that too. And he sought to flip the Democrats' script on affordability.
Oh, the A word there. Yeah.
Pinning the blame on Democrats for rising health insurance costs. He said the current Unaffordable Care Act was created to make insurance companies rich. You see that now in the steep increase in premiums being demanded by the Democrats, and they're demanding those increases, and it's their fault. He said it's not the Republicans' fault. Problem is, you know, the lamestream media, they're not going to give Trump a break.
Mm-mm.
They never will.
No.
And then you've got so many politicians in Washington that have Trump derangement syndrome. And remember, this really is a sickness. They just can't see the truth. They can't see the light. They can't understand common sense, and they lack all logic. Once you put Trump into the equation, everything lacks logic.
Yep.
Democrats, led by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, forced that government shutdown, as you know, and I think most people understand that, yes, that was the fault of the Democrats. So you've got that going on. But Trump had many positive things to talk about, like pharmaceuticals, tax cuts, electricity, rent, home buying, all these things that the president has been working on. And we'll dig into some of that stuff deeper as we move along. And yes, it appears the rumors are true. Dan Bongino of the FBI is apparently stepping down. He's leaving. We've got that story and a whole lot more on the way. It is 6:15 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here, and it's Thursday. A 97.3 The Sky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let me see now. Over $4 million a year or $221,000 a year?
I would take either one.
You and I both, but yeah, it's not our decision to make.
Oh, okay.
Good morning and welcome, friends. It is 6:21. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And you never have to miss a minute of the show. You just search The Bob Rose Show on your favorite app. Hit the follow button, and you can catch up on every episode, every hour, whenever it works for you. Now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcast. Well, it's true. Dan Bongino is leaving the FBI. It is official now. He'll be leaving in January after speculation rose this week, the past week a little bit, concerning his departure. Quote, I'll be leaving my position with the FBI in January. He wrote on an X post yesterday. He said, I want to thank President Trump, AG Bondi, Director Patel for the opportunity to serve with purpose. Most importantly, I want to thank you, my fellow Americans, for the privilege to serve you. God bless America and all those who defend her. President Trump hinted at the news on the tarmac at Andrews earlier in the afternoon, saying, Dan did a great job. I think he wants to go back to his show. And Bongino's a former Secret Service agent. He had no FBI experience before Trump tapped him to serve in the number two position. Prior to Bongino, the role had for more than a century been filled by someone who worked at the Bureau. According to the FBI Agents Association, the position does not require Senate confirmation. But I know President Trump was not necessarily looking at someone who was an insider. He wanted an outsider who didn't already have, connections, agendas, and ties and stuff. He wanted a fresh set of eyes in there, and I think that's why he wanted him there. But the fact of the matter is, you know, before Bongino took the gig, his salary was estimated at nearly $5 million in 2024.
So that was quite a pay cut.
Yeah, he went down to $221,000. Now, Hegseth, you know, similar. He was making $2.3 million with Fox and whatever else that he was doing, and now he's making like $256,000. So, you know, you can't say that they're doing it for the money. Clearly, they're not. They are patriots, and they love this country. And if it was all about just monetary opportunities, they would have stayed where they were. And I don't know how much it's a money issue for Bongino. I can't speak for him. I think that there's probably a lot of factors, but I think one of them is, I think he realizes that this is a, how do I put it, an incredible challenge to try to clean up the FBI. And again, we always have to say, and it's true, there are a lot of committed folks that work at the FBI. There is. But then there's a few and some in powerful positions that, maybe they're not as committed to America as they are, maybe need to be committed, if you know what I'm saying. So what a tough gig. What a tough gig. And I feel for Kash Patel, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got an entrenched class. You know, they have a high level of power, and there's supposed to be oversight. Who's going to oversee it? The director of the FBI previously, the James Comeys of the world doesn't give you a lot of confidence there. So I think he might have seen it as, gosh, I want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And maybe he has made somewhat of a difference, but at the end of the day, man, he probably just feels like, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of power to necessarily change things. I mean, look, they've got their own union. So you try to get rid of FBI agents, that's even harder than getting rid of your average federal worker. So, look, he's going to be fine. Bongino's going to be fine. I feel for the folks that are at the FBI that are amongst the very, very good folks, and because they need people to go to bat for them every day. You know, those in the in the upper echelons there. So we'll see. Apparently, they might already have somebody in mind to take his place, but
It's sad that it becomes political.
Well,
it shouldn't.
The left is going to say, and they've said it already, oh, Trump, yeah, it's falling apart. It's crumbling.
Uh-huh.
It's a dam under pressure. All these things that they've said, and everybody's going to be jumping ship. Well, the Bongino rumor turned out to be true that he was leaving. And again, we don't know exactly why. Here's what I have. Bongino has quietly told confidants that he plans to formally leave his job early in the new year, will not be returning to headquarters to work this month, according to eight people briefed on his account. He told his team and some senior FBI officials that tentatively planned to announce his departure on December 19th. Several people said some of Bongino's personal effects have been cleared out of his office as of last week. And, I mean, the president said very positive, glowing things about him. I think he is leaving on very good terms. I know there were some agents that didn't like him, but I don't think they like what he and Patel stand for.
Well, and what administration doesn't have changes? Seriously, I mean, pick one. There are always people coming and going within the administration. Doesn't matter who's in office.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but didn't he have some kind of, I'm pretty sure, some health type issues?
There was something that he faced at one point. Yeah, I forget what that was now, but you're right.
And you wonder, you look at the length of your life, you look at a family that you want to take care of. If you go back into the private sector and can make, you know, multiples of what your salary is, you know, in the government.
Right.
I mean, you have to consider that. Like I said, if health is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly, you know, his wife is bright, but the potential to make multi-millions a year is probably limited. 6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's Thursday. And we're going to tout some of the stuff that the president has accomplished over the last 11 months. And NASA has an exciting announcement to make as well. We'll get to all of it coming up next on the Bob Rose Show with Greg Cassidy live and local, 97.3 The Sky. We know you're busy. That's why we make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcasts have every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, like Apple, Spotify, or iHeart. You just hit subscribe. Good morning. Welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 6:39 right now. We've got a lot to talk about, including the president and a speech last night telling you in 11 months how he has done, heroic things to try to turn around what he was left from the Biden administration, which was a giant mess. It was a mess.
Yes.
I can't get more descriptive than that.
No, not to keep your job.
We'll delve into that in a little bit. I just thought I'd share this with you. Fitness guru Jillian Michaels, you know who she is?
Oh, yeah.
She was on Biggest Loser,
and
she is she's done quite well, moving her career forward, et cetera. She has a podcast and stuff, but apparently she was on with a panel, and they were discussing, I guess, after this mass shooting at a Hanukkah celebration in Australia. And she was on with, I guess it was Piers Morgan, his deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple other people on it, like this Wajahat Ali, a far-left writer. And he really, he didn't like what she had to say. In her initial remarks responding to the attack, right, mm-hmm. Michael said that she believed that the vast majority of Muslims worldwide are peaceful. Okay, would that upset you to hear that?
Shouldn't, I would think.
But warned that even a small percentage of extremists could pose a significant threat. The suspects in the massacre are alleged to have been inspired by the Islamic State terrorist group. All these things appear to be true, factual. She said, but if 10% wants to bring down the West, you're looking at a heck of a lot of people. You're looking at like 200 million people.
Wow.
So what do you do about that? And yes, there are amazing heroes like the man who tried to stop them. But guys, when you look at the fact that there have been 64,000 terror attacks since 9/11 that were committed by radical Islam, 243,000 people died in those terror attacks, and you're saying all religions? I mean, not really, right? Not really. So, and she also said that a lot that's labeled Islamophobic stems from the fear of the extremist ideology rather than Muslims as a whole. And I think she described that very well. She said, what I think they're afraid of is an ideology that is not in alignment with the West. And it's not the vast majority of Muslims, she said, but when it's, let's say, 10%, it's still a lot of people. These are statistics. So this guy, Wajahat Ali, he takes issue with that. And he's a Muslim. And he objected to her characterization, saying her numbers were outdated and inaccurate. He cited recent examples of Muslim intervening to stop terror attacks both in Australia and Germany. And he said, I let you say a lot of hateful, stupid, reckless things about Muslim Islam. Was there anything she said that was hateful, stupid, and reckless?
And I thought she was making the numbers look good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that she, you know, looked up statistics and found those numbers. And depending on how you slice it and dice it, I'm sure that they're accurate. And she said, you know, he said, oh, you said all these nasty things and that. And I just sat there while she tried to defend herself. And she said, well, would you like to say 1%? That's 20 million people.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then he goes, oh, hey, by your own admission, you're a white nationalist. You admitted it. I saw the clip. Now she's PO'd. Okay?
You got to be careful because she's tough.
Well, not only that, and you may not know this, and I learned it just now.
Yeah.
She said, you know I'm Arab, right? I'm Syrian and Lebanese and Turkish. Of course he didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he claimed the clip exists. And she said, when did I say I was a white nationalist? He then started to back off a little bit. He said, maybe I was mistaken. Well, apparently, there was a separate interview earlier this month. Somebody did their research on the Megyn Kelly show. And Michaels very sarcastically joked, she goes, yeah, I'm a white nationalist now. Because she was discussing online critics who mischaracterized her comments in an August CNN segment about the Trump administration's anti-DEI policies.
So you can tell when it's in sarcasm. Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on.
It was not made to truly describe herself. And the comment was totally made in jest and it's ridiculous. And anyway, I thought that her commentary was extremely reasonable. But you can't be reasonable with these zealots, these hardcores. You can't be. Immediately wanted to call her names.
Wow.
Questioned the numbers and called her names. And I think everything that she said, she didn't say it in a hateful or malicious tone at all.
Mm-hmm.
And why would she? I mean, she's connected to the Arab world. And, yeah, it's... I mean, we shouldn't be shocked by that, but I thought I'd share that with you, that you can't have a reasonable debate.
No.
With the folks on the far left. You just can't. Mark Levin, he had a nice little comment about President Trump. I'll share that with you coming up on the Bob Rose Show. It is 6:45. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a lot more to talk about. It's all coming up. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It's going to be another awesome day. We're going to do our part. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Welcome, my friends. Not nearly as chilly as we had a couple days ago. It's looking pretty good.
Nice.
And it's going to warm up again later on this afternoon. So it'll be a little bit more comfortable as you maybe have some chores to do, errands to run, last-minute shopping, etc. Mm-hmm. So hang in there. It's all good. You're probably receiving some packages maybe on your doorstep. And you know that these porch pirates, they do exist.
Oh, yeah.
I am a fan of, you know, regular pirates. I'm a fan of Donald J. Trump when he's a pirate, mm-hmm. stopping Venezuelan ships with an armada of American ships. But not a fan of the porch pirates.
Nah.
No, not at all.
But I do love all the videos of people who, like, set traps for them. I love those.
Well, you have to be careful how far you go, because it turns out a Georgia homeowner caught a couple of teens trying to steal some packages off the porch, and he... Well, they opened fire.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. Oh,
see, everybody should know better than that.
You would think.
You really should, because you make all of the rest of us look bad.
Rakeem Bradford is facing two counts of aggravated assault, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony, in shooting the teen boys, age 15 and 16. Oh. I mean, certainly... the kids need to be punished, but, you know, shooting them, possibly, you know, where you could kill them, that's not acceptable.
It goes back to that you can't do more to them than the law would kind of concept. So,
well, again, unless you're, you know, great bodily harm is going to come to you, you definitely fear for your life. People just stealing packages and running, that's not really... No. The shooting happened just before 3:30 p.m. December 11th outside an Atlanta townhome. Our investigation determined that we believe a property crime was occurring, that some packages were being taken off a front porch, which is not uncommon this time of year, and the homeowner did discharge his weapon to stop that. Responding officers found a 15-year-old with a gunshot wound to his right foot.
Ooh.
He was taken to Grady Memorial Hospital for treatment, and they... deal with gunshot wounds all the time at that hospital. A short time later, officers found that the other teen had a gunshot wound to his right arm. He was taken to the hospital in critical condition. Early Friday morning, police said that the teen underwent surgery. Both teens are expected to survive. The teens were suspected of stealing packages left on the porch of a home commonly known as porch piracy. Now, you know, the man... is arrested and has been charged, aggravated assault, possession of a firearm, right?
Mm-hmm.
As of now, no charges have been filed against the teens.
Hmm.
Who, if the teens didn't come to commit a crime,
right,
probably wouldn't have got shot. And I'm not justifying it in any way, shape, or form. You can't. That's called a property crime.
Maybe,
you can't shoot people for that.
No, you can't. Maybe they think they've learned their lesson by actually getting shot.
Well, there might be something to that.
But that doesn't let them off the hook, I don't
think. It shows a level of frustration when people feel like it's a revolving door, or, you know, these kids are minors, they get a slap on the wrist, and this continues, and, you know, you get frustrated, frankly. But that, again, doesn't mean it's okay to do that. You can't do that, and you're just going to... Well, he's going to be the one that possibly goes to prison, and these punks will be running around the streets.
Well, hopefully it did leave an impression, shall we say. Because for the rest of their life, they'll probably have a scar or two to remind them
leave
how
a mark.
Stupid they were. So, you know, maybe so.
Hey, the United States Senate Wednesday confirmed Jared Isaacman as administrator of NASA in a 67-30 vote. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You've got some bipartisan support. But here's what's really cool about it. At the age of 42, he becomes the youngest person in history to lead NASA.
Wow.
So it's not exactly Doogie Howser.
No, but apparently it's been an older person's job in the past.
Well, I would imagine to lead NASA, you've got to be.
Yeah. Pretty smart guy.
Congratulations to Jared Isaacman and his confirmation as NASA administrator. It's been an honor to help drive POTUS's vision for American leadership in space. I wish Jared success as he begins his tenure and leads NASA as we go back to the moon in 2028 and beat China. We already beat China. We've already been to the moon.
Uh-huh. And they've been there since, so we beat them already.
You know where we need to go. We need to go to Titan.
Mm.
Titan. That's a moon.
Oh, I thought that's where you got your MRIs or something.
Well, that too.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Thanks for asking. My knee is coming along.
Well, good. PT, you're doing your thing?
Yeah, I go again today.
Okay.
They're being quite gentle with me, which I appreciate.
He's sensitive.
I'm a sensitive man.
Be kind.
All right. A presidential poll that shows AOC in the lead, and you might be shocked who else is in the poll and behind AOC. What? Yeah, that's coming up. Listen to the Bob Rose Show on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps, or just tell your smart speaker to play 97.3 The Sky, because we've got a ton of stuff coming up, including that poll that you might be surprised about. We've got a Warrior dividend that the president is giving out.
I like the name of that. That's pretty cool.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And then you've also got some of the great things that the president has accomplished over the last 11 months, even though he inherited a real mess. So we'll dig into all of that. Coming up on the Bob Rose Show, Greg Cassidy is here. We're trying to make it a happy, happy Thursday on 97.3 The Sky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.